Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first official airing of Turning Heads right here on UMFM 101.5. My name is Emily Palmer, and I am the host and producer of the talk show Turning Heads. I have been developing ideas for my show for the past year, and I couldn't be more excited to share them with you, this time on air here at UMFM. Turning Heads is where I will discuss societal pressures to be perfect in today's world. In so many areas of life, I have experienced so much pressure to fit into certain categories or certain boxes to avoid scrutiny from those around me. And for the longest time, it has caused a lot of discomfort while I have navigated through the many obstacles of life. On this show, I will be attending to the many discourses that society has established and the effects that it has placed at an individual level. I hope to host a variety of guests to hear their stories and highlight the many ways that one can work to break those narrow ideologies of perfection. Today, I have a great episode planned for you. I am joined by a very special guest, a Winnipeg-born 26-year-old female entrepreneur, Johanna Sire. Welcome, Johanna. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So to start, can you just give us a little bit of a background of your business and like what you've been up to recently?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I founded a company in 2017 called the Fit Girl Gang, or TFGG is what we tend to call it. And it's basically an online community of women that come together and are dedicated to really bettering themselves through fitness. So as a trainer, I am a huge believer of using fitness as a platform to develop confidence in what you are capable of doing in every area of your life. So for me personally, I got into fitness and I started training over 6 years ago now, which is crazy. And when I first got into it myself, I started to realize that I was doing all of these hard things in the gym. I was teaching myself how to do them. I was slowly getting stronger and I was getting better. And it was really the first time in my life that I showed myself that I was capable of doing hard things. And I found that it really translated to every other area of my life. So at the time, school, I became less daunted and overwhelmed by big projects or classes that I had no idea what was going on. And my business too. So the Fit Girl Gang is a community of 3,700 women. We are about 75% in Winnipeg, 25% spread out throughout the rest of Canada.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So very Winnipeg heavy, which okay. I do love, especially for when we do events. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So everything is done online. There are 7 different core training programs that are 10 weeks long each. And we all start training together on the same day, no matter which program you're doing.
Okay.
So let's say you just had a baby and you're going to do our postnatal program, or you want to learn how to lift heavy weights, Emily Palmer. Maybe that's you right now, right?
Yes, for sure.
Right. So then you're going to do our intro to lifting program. Like there's a ton of different programs. And the idea is we have 3 start dates throughout the year. Our next one is January 6th because everybody kind of likes to start fresh in the new year. We all start training on the same day, and you really have that sense of support of other women that are going through these programs at the exact same time as you. So while we're doing these programs, we're communicating 24/7 through a private Facebook group that we have. Everybody's in there. You can ask whatever you want. It's completely like it's a safe, judgment-free space. I'm doing about 2 to 3 hours of live chat Q&As in that Facebook group every single week. So whatever questions come up, whatever topics you want to get into, whether that be lifting technique, whether that be talking about self-love and acceptance or kind of getting out of the comparison game, all of these things we really try to dive into. And also there'll be event series that take place, in-person events, to really allow people to connect in person as well as just online.
Right, and you just held a recent photo shoot over the weekend where TFGG gang members were able to get in front of the camera and be themselves and be more comfortable in their own skin. That must have been so interesting.
It was so much fun. I've always kind of been against the traditional fitness photo shoots in the past because I find that it's all about like, how can I make my body look perfect? How can I right. diet down so I'm worthy of being in a professional photo? And I hate everything to do with that.
Yeah.
Every single person is deserving and worthy of making themselves look hot and yeah. feel good and have really high quality photos taken of them.
Completely.
So I just wanted it to be like a celebration of each of these women, who they are on the inside, on the outside. They're all so stunning and just wonderful people.
Right.
So yeah, we packed 105 shoots into 1 weekend. It was a lot.
Wow.
But
yeah.
It was good. Yeah.
And I saw on Instagram like the stories that women had shared. They were so happy with how it went. They said it was just like so supportive. You, Bailey, and Jose were just awesome the whole time and like pumping everybody up.
It was a really fulfilling weekend for sure to get yeah. to see them sort of like come to life in front of the camera and just like they started it was the same pattern for everyone. They would start off so shy. I would say for almost every person there, it was their first real shoot.
Right.
And by the end of it, they were like smiling and posing and moving and just like had the biggest smiles on their faces. It was a really good feeling.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So for your business, what made you kind of want to just solely focus on a women-centered group? Like, why did you find that that was so important?
Like, we could go back to childhood. How far back do you
okay,
want
to yeah,
go?
Whatever you'd like to talk about.
Wow, okay, we're not really going to go back to childhood. I did, although, side note, have a strange fear of men when I was a little okay. kid that I really, there's been no trauma in my life, nothing that I can relate back to that. And this does not relate to my business at all.
No,
I just wanted to.
But it's important to kind of hear about.
It's yeah. very, very strange. I always have had just like a sense of comfort around women.
Right.
And one thing I will say is I went to St. Mary's, which is how we know each other. We both did.
Yeah.
So it's an all-girls high school. And while I didn't necessarily love it at the time, I was a little bit of a detention Denise, as people yes. call it when you go to St. Mary's. One thing that I did love was there was such a sense of just being okay as you were. Nobody was putting on makeup. Nobody was shaving their legs under their kilts. Like, you just woke up, showed up, and you didn't worry about kind of what people thought of you.
Totally.
Especially when it came to appearance. And I really, really value that, especially looking back on it. I don't know if I really did at the time.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I first started training, I was in my first year of university. And it was really just something that I did on the side. I was sort of educating myself and trying to understand how my body worked, and I sort of became the friend that would train girls I worked with, or they would ask questions about like how, like proper form on this or what they should pair right. together, and it was a fun thing. And it was within that year that I decided, you know, I think this is something that I get a lot out of. It's very fulfilling to me, and I want to kind of take more seriously. So I got my first certification that year. And when I decided I wanted to start working with clients, it just felt right to work with women.
Mm-hmm.
I had more experience. I had all grew up with a big female friend circle.
Right.
And I just felt like I knew how I wanted to train personally. And I think it kind of went from there.
Okay, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think like beginning at St. Mary's, you have this community set like solely women powered community that, like you said, nobody wore makeup, nobody shaved their legs, and everyone just felt comfortable and didn't have to focus on appearances or like what other people thought of them at the time. So
and that is so true. And it yeah. is exactly what I wanted to translate into my community. So
right.
we started off, my first company was called Aurea Fitness. So mm-hmm. I started it in 2013. And it was, I went and trained one-on-one with clients. And I also had these boot camps.
Right.
And boot camp started out so small. It was literally like me and four women in this gym. I feel like you maybe came to one.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tiny. But right from the beginning, it was like everyone was there to focus on their goals, on getting stronger. And they bonded together kind of through that.
Okay.
I was actually, this is going to sound so wild, but I was talking to a friend this morning about she's just started coming to boot camps, which I still run. And she's like, it's crazy. I just started and I didn't know anyone going in, but I feel so close with all these women. Like, I feel so close already. And I've actually done a little research on it before, and I don't know this super well, so don't quote me on this, but it's actually similar to people in the army who go through kind of traumatic situations together, obviously way, way, way more extreme than a workout.
Right.
But there's an element of when you suffer with people, you bond in a much faster and deeper way.
Interesting.
Than you do from just going to class with them, right? Or knowing someone casually.
Right.
So what I wanted in this community of women was for people to really connect and be just like a system of support,
yep.
right? You're not worrying about somebody looking at you. You're not worrying about someone judging you for looking a certain way
right.
or lifting a certain amount of weight. Like, gym culture right now is so male dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted this to be a place where like nobody cared. You showed up, it's fun, you work hard, you feel supported by the people around you, and that's it.
Right. Like you say that it's so male dominated. Obviously you have a specific idea about fitness. Have you ever experienced critiques about the way that you view fitness and the way that you like the messages that you communicate with your members?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a really important lesson that I've learned this year is if you're going to put yourself out there in a public way, you're going to be subject to criticism. And also, I'm such a people pleaser. It's to a fault and I need to work on it. But I've really had to get over the fact that not everyone is going to like me. Not right. everyone's going to align with my beliefs on training or on health or on self-love.
Right.
I find that fitness is a really interesting place because people tend to kind of get their beliefs and stick to them and be quite extreme a lot of the time.
Okay.
So when I started in fitness, the bodybuilding community was huge. Mm-hmm, it was huge. Sure. And it was sort of being sold to women as a way of, oh, are you not comfortable in your body? Do you have weight that you want to lose? Or do you not like the way that you look? Well, the only solution to that, you got to get oiled up. You got to stop eating carbs. You got to get on a stage and you have to pose for judges. And my true belief on this is then those judges will give you your self-worth. Exactly. They will tell you how much you're allowed to like yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
And while I know people in the industry who, in the competitive fitness industry, who it's their sport. And they take it so seriously. They train the way that a professional athlete does. And I respect that so much. Mm-hmm. And the work that goes into it, I couldn't even imagine. What I don't like is this sport being sold to women and told that you need to do this. You need to go to this extreme in order to like yourself.
Right, exactly.
And to me, that's very, very wrong. And fitness should be something that adds to your life. It makes you feel more confident. It makes you feel capable. It shouldn't be about dieting down or having to look like this idealized image that's like has certain proportions.
Totally.
Yeah. So,
okay. And like you said, these women get their sense of self-worth and self-confidence from another person, like from a stranger that is judging them when they're on a stage. So they're not really getting any self-worth or acknowledging any capabilities from within.
And
right?
I don't want to necessarily say that because I think mm-hmm. that's a really one-sided statement. But here's the thing. I've worked with so many women, whether it be one-on-one training in boot camps in Fit Girl Gang, who have had experiences going through that, right? They decided to do a competition. They were sort of sold that idea. They wanted to look a certain way. And it's sort of the same story every time that they come to me with, which is, listen, I really wanted to do this. I was really proud of myself for doing it. I worked really hard. And there's something to be said about being proud of yourself for that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
The problem is it distorts your image of what your body should look like.
Okay.
No one is able to maintain that look of being lean and being on a stage. They have dieted down so hard for that. You can't safely maintain that in day-to-day life.
Okay.
So the problem is they gain some weight back because you have to. Mm-hmm. You absolutely have to even get your period or be able to function properly as a person. And then they immediately think, oh, well, I don't look like that anymore. So my body's now bad and I don't like it.
Right. Okay.
Right? So then there's sort of this, it's sort of like they can't appreciate fitness for it making them feel fit or strong or even look good if it's not to that extreme.
Okay.
And I'm very much someone who, while I don't align with the body positivity movement, I'm huge on self-love. I believe that every single human being on this earth, as they are, is deserving of love and care of themselves right now. You don't need to change anything. Yeah. You don't need to do anything to be worthy of love. I think that's just so important.
Okay.
So I think that from what I've seen, the bodybuilding industry is just such an extreme. So yes, I don't align with that. And so where I've received a little bit of criticism and just kind of feedback is, do I look like a bodybuilder? Do I have that much muscle? Am I that lean? No, I'm not. Does that mean that I am not extremely good at what I do? No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And like you said, when somebody is judged and that message of body perfection is being distorted in the way that their body should look. So I know that there's like so many fads out there. Like if you drink this tea, you'll be perfect. Like what is your take on that? What do you think?
My take on it is that's all marketing. It's all companies wanting to make money. I'm not saying I don't understand where they're coming from. I mean, we live in a capitalist society. Like we all want to make money, right? But yeah, just to try not to buy into that.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, like it is about basics. And most people won't tell you that because they want to sell you something. But like, listen, like try to eat more protein, try to eat more vegetables, drink some more water. Like it's not overly complicated. It can be difficult to do, but it's not as complicated as like buying this obscure product that's like really sketchy and not good for you.
No, for sure. So when you decided that you wanted to be an entrepreneur, did you find that choosing that path of going into the fitness industry was very hard, or did you find that it was easy? Did you have any, like, was it difficult for you to just not complete because you didn't complete university? Did you find that you were pressured by other figures in your life to complete that?
Yes. Okay. So can we go back a little bit? Because I feel like there's so much of this.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. So as a little kid, little, I knew that I wanted to be a businesswoman.
Right.
I can't tell you what I thought that meant. Like, I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough.
I just remember being like 7 and being like, yeah, I'm going to be a businesswoman. No idea. Okay. I would start companies where I would make my sister work for me, and I would just like, I had the candy cup. So the candy cup was, I sold Halloween candy back to my parents and anyone that came to our house.
Perfect.
Right. I had a walking stick company where I would carve walking sticks at the place that we went camping. Like, really just, like, so wanted cute. To try to – yeah, there was something about, like, having a business that really excited me.
Right.
And kind of – I can't remember not feeling that way.
Okay.
So when I graduated high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do right away. And I decided to travel to Australia with my best friend. Such a great life experience. At the time, it was definitely not as common as it is for students now, which I'm so happy that it's, you know what I mean?
Completely, yeah.
Something that, like, people are really encouraged to do, I think, in general, because you learn so much. But when I came back after a year, I thought, okay, I don't know what to do, but, like, well, they make business women at Asper, so I'm going to go to Asper because that's where the business women go. And also, my mom went to Asper before it was called that. She's a very successful businesswoman. I'm going to keep using that term, business person. And I thought, okay, well, that's where I'm going to figure out what I want to do. So it was while I was at Asper that I started to sort of dive into this passion and understand it a little better and research it and get certifications on the side. And I just started to realize that, like, I would be sitting in class planning workouts for clients, programming, researching, and I cared so little about the classes that I was in. I just want to say that not every class that I took at university I would consider a wash. I had one prof, Fang Wan, and she was mind-blowingly incredible. She was so brilliant. I took two classes with her, and they were those two classes were more fulfilling than the entire rest of my degree put together.
Wow.
She was just, she thought so differently than anyone else, and she really challenged me, and she really believed in Fit Girl Gang.
Okay.
And in my business. She actually allowed me to use Fit Girl Gang as a project for the entire class to work on, to try to develop and try to be as effective as possible. And, like, I will never stop being grateful to her for that. It was just so transformative toward me believing in myself.
That's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, it was really great. So while I wouldn't recommend majoring in entrepreneurship if you want to be an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
It got to the point where I had two university classes left, and I was about to launch Fit Girl Gang. I was running my other business, Aurea Fitness, as well, and it was becoming quite time-consuming and fulfilling and also, like, profitable.
Totally.
And I just thought, okay, I'm going to see if I can make this happen. Yeah, of course, there are people who I'm sure are listening to me and thinking, God, girl, like, finish those two classes. I understand. I understand my mom wanting that. My grandparents helped me pay for university. Like, I really right. understand that perspective. And I do have some guilt around that. But I also just knew that I believed so much in what I was doing and in what Fit Girl Gang was going to be and what it is now, that I knew that I needed to give it 100% of my time and attention.
Completely, yeah.
I'm definitely in a very interesting position right now, where Fit Girl Gang has grown, obviously, quite immensely. It really has become what I at first thought it could be, and now I have such, like, even greater visions for it, and I'm working to open a gym in 2020.
Right.
So that'll be my in-person training business with a team of trainers. It'll be the first boutique women's gym in the city. So now the interesting part is, like, could I go back and get those two classes? Yes, probably. Do I prioritize them highly enough over the work that would need to be slightly sacrificed a little bit? No, I don't.
Yeah.
I truly know I don't. And my answer to anyone who's like, just go do them, is I truly worry that if I go back to do them, I would just not put in any effort, because to me, the importance of dealing with my women in Fit Girl Gang and their needs and creating new content for them and marketing strategies and, like, running the websites and training in person and doing all the behind the scenes work to get this gym ready, like, right. that will always come first. So I think it's just about knowing, like, yeah, listen, people might judge me for this, but, like, I know in my heart what's right for me right now. I'm not saying I'll never go back. I'm not saying I'll never do it. But I have to listen to, like, myself above other people's judgments.
Completely. And a lot of the time for me, like, going to university was a top priority, even though I had, like, maybe a side hustle or something that I really cared about on the side. It almost, not like, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have education and to be in post-secondary education.
Of course.
But I found that I wasn't really fully engaged in the things that I truly cared about. And I was a little bit scrutinized for that, because school was the main thing that was going to allow me to be successful in the future. But I think, like, what you deem as successful is way more important than what others kind of view as successful, right?
Everyone is going to have a different definition of success, as they should. Do you know what I mean?
For,
like,
sure.
Someone out there is like, university changed my life. It was, it taught me what I needed to know for this career, for where I wanted to go. And that's unbelievable.
Yeah,
that's so good. I'm not someone that says like universities, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Like I don't take that stance.
Yeah.
I think it's completely based on you, mm-hmm. what your values are, what you're trying to do. And it's going to vary for every single person.
Completely.
Can I ask you a question?
Totally.
What were the main things that you would say that you weren't focusing on because of school, because school took such priority to you?
I would say that, like, for the longest time, I really wanted to talk about things that I really, really cared about. And I was so focused on, like, writing exams all the time. Like, my whole university career was, like, probably 30% papers.
Right.
And, like, 70% writing tests. So I was constantly at school just, like, being by myself, not talking to anybody, and like studying, reading so much material. And yes, it was so beneficial. Like I learned so much about theory and all these little, I'm so smart.
You are.
But at the same time, I really wanted to talk to other people about my passions and the things that I really cared about. So over the course of my degree, I learned a lot about like feminist theory and looking at like race, class, sexuality, and how they impact people at a like an individual level. And I found that yes, I was able to write my thoughts and be graded on that material, but at the same time I really wanted to be like not a spokesperson, but I really wanted to like discuss with other people what they thought about these certain subjects. And I was so passionate about human rights.
So you're saying like you were isolated learning about this,
yeah,
but you weren't sort of like out there
exactly
doing anything about it.
Yeah. And so for good reason, like I would, like I'm only 24 right now.
Yeah.
And like some people would say this 21-year-old or this 22-year-old, whatever, has no idea what she's talking about. Like she's still in university. She has no merit of the things that she wants to say and the messages that she wants to deliver. But at the same time, like who is anybody else to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking
of
about?
Course.
Right.
Of course.
So I don't know. I found that being in university, such a privilege. Like, it's so awesome to have this opportunity. But at the same time, I found that I wasn't really focused on the things that I actually really cared about. And so that's mainly why I wanted to have this show, is because I wanted to deliver the message to other people that even though big organizations can say, you need to do this to be successful, or you need to, like, have
cross
this
off degree, this off your list and
exactly
follow this path.
Yeah, that you need to be successful. But, I mean, if you find that you're kind of, what you're doing right now is taking away from the things that you really care about. I think it's like, who are you not to do what you actually want to do in life? So I don't know. I really wanted to just deliver that to other people, that you can focus on the things that you truly care about and then you'll be fulfilled, I believe.
I agree. And I also just want to say I'm really proud of you.
Wow. Thank you so much. That's so nice to hear.
It's really great that you're doing this.
I honestly have to thank you for that, for like a lot of it, because your program has really helped me to like achieve certain goals and to have certain goals in place. Without that, like, yes, I am independent. I have done, like, I've completed university, but at the same time, I found that your program has really helped me to prioritize the things in my life that I truly care about. And it's, like you said, it's different for every single person.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I really found that prioritizing, like, side hustles has really helped me grow as a person into really who I want to be in the future.
And I just want to say that's so meaningful to me to hear, because I didn't start Fit Girl Gang to get women for, like, to have women get super fit or have their bodies look a certain way. Are those great side effects? Do I want them to get stronger and faster and make themselves proud in the gym? Of course I do. However, to me, fitness is not isolated. Fitness doesn't happen. You don't just like get fit and it doesn't change any other aspect of your life. To me, it's all about like betterment and going after the life that you want as a whole, right?
Totally.
We all sometimes, okay, often when people first get into fitness really seriously, they take it so seriously and they're like, oh my God, can't miss a workout. Gotta make it happen. Oh my God, an extra rest day. What do I do? And I understand because I've been there
totally,
right, in the past. What you come to realize, I think, after time and years of doing this is it's not something that you need to be perfect with. It's not something you're always going to be able to make your priority or even your top five priorities. It's something that adds value to your life. It makes you stronger. It makes you more capable. And hopefully through like bettering yourself through fitness, you sort of learn that you deserve to better yourself in other areas too and go after what you really want. So I'm just really, really, really happy to hear that
you
feel that way.
No, yeah, absolutely. I'm so grateful that you've like developed this community, and I've seen it through like so many stages. Like I've seen it through when we used to work out at the U of M gym here and there. And now it's grown into like such an amazing business, and like it's fantastic what you're doing for women. And I think that you have such a supportive community.
Yeah, that's like, so great.
In the Fit Girl Gang, and even like across so many streams of social media, people are so grateful for this community and this environment that you've built for women. And I think it's great. I think it's really awesome.
Thank you.
So with your idea of being fit and not being fit, but like using fitness as a tool to tap onto various mm-hmm. areas of life and to achieve certain goals in just in lifestyle, is there a constant idea that's being reminded to your members and that like something that women have brought up that are like, oh, I'm insecure about this, or yeah. I've heard this method of thinking. Is there anything that frustrates you that you're like, no, this is not what I believe and this is how you should not think?
There is not enough time in this episode for me to list random myths that women have been told that they need to be or do.
Okay.
Or think a certain way. So let's get into like the bigger things, because I think we could talk more micro. Like, okay. I'm just gonna give a quick example. Micro is like, oh my God, you used to think this, so now I'm dying, so I was going to say it anyways. I'm not allowed to eat after 7 p.m.
Oh my God.
Right? Yeah, it's couldn't be less true, right?
Right. For sure.
Right? Yeah. I coach at night. I run my classes at night. I don't get home until 10:15. I'm eating that last meal at 10:15. I'm not starving myself because somebody told me in women's health, like in completely. 2001, that I wasn't allowed.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's tons of little things like that. I would say there's a few core topics that I'm sort of always trying to remind them of, because they're universal things that we all really struggle with. We all need reminders of. And a lot of these things tie into each other.
Okay.
So one of the things we talk about in Fit Girl Gang a lot is the comparison game. Okay. It's 2019. It's almost 2020. We are constantly being bombarded by the best version of everybody's self and life. Right. Let's just take social media as a complete example. Right. We pretty much all have it, right? Whether you use Facebook, whether you use Instagram, you are looking at the highlight reel of everyone's life.
Totally.
Do we know it's the highlight reel? Of course we do. Everyone's telling us, like, if we're listening to experts or, I don't know, like, I love different, like, kind of psychology podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like, we all know that it's people posting the photos in the best light with the best angle on their vacations, not when they're at home crying their eyes out because their business plan isn't working out and they feel like a failure, right?
Totally.
That's not being shown. And so we all the time are being sort of bombarded with this stream of like perfection and idealistic like everything. So I think it becomes really hard to not compare yourself, even if you're not trying to do it.
Yeah.
Right? It happens. It's subconscious. And so I think reminding these women all the time that like, listen, just because somebody else is doing this doesn't mean you are less. Just because somebody else's body looks like this does not mean you are less.
Completely.
It's about understanding that the goal of fitness and the goal of betterment is not being better than anybody else. It is evolving yourself, right? How can you be more efficient at working toward your goals? How can you get more joy out of your life? Like, yeah. All these things. It actually, we need to sort of be better at putting our blinders on. And once again, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I struggle with this too.
Yeah.
It's such a human thing that we all struggle with, especially as an entrepreneur. I can look at other women who like have millions of followers on Instagram, massive fitness communities, and like are doing world tours of workouts with like thousands of women at each one. Yeah. You think that doesn't make me feel like a tiny little ant that has like walked one foot in my entire life? Like, it does. But I think it's reminding myself that like I'm not trying to be another person, whether they are in my industry or not. I can be inspired by other people. I can understand that like I don't need to box myself in, but it's about like feeling like motivated but staying in your own lane and understanding you're just trying to get better yourself.
Completely. And even like, I think this translates even to such a micro level, like being in the gym, having a workout for an hour. So I find like when I used to work out, I was so nervous to do certain things, to like lift a barbell or whatever, or sprint really, really hard, and people would see that like, oh my gosh, this girl is like going crazy on the treadmill. But at the same time, like, it was because I was comparing to other people, to right. those around me.
Yeah.
And so what I've really found that you're like, the messages that you've sent and like the things that you talk about with your gang is that you cannot, like, everybody else in the gym is doing their own thing, and most of the time they might be looking at you, but they like, they're thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
And okay, so two thoughts on this. So the first one is, I would argue that against any place that you will go, public place that you'll ever go,
mm-hmm.
I would argue that the gym is the most selfish place in the world. And okay. It's not a bad thing.
Right.
It's not a bad thing. Every single person is walking into that gym with their own goals, their own workout program. Hopefully you should be following a program. Don't go at random. Their own goals, their own program, their own insecurities, their own egos, everything.
Right.
Right. We are all in the gym focusing on ourselves. And then we're also all thinking everybody else is focused on me. Everyone's thinking that. No one's focused on you. Nobody cares about you. It's actually the best.
Exactly.
I actually think it's like really cool to like look at a gym and think like, wow, all of these people are here in unison, like working towards some kind of like betterment. Yet like, no one gives a shit about anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, no, completely.
So it's interesting when you say worried about what other people think of you at the gym, right? I think that so often we don't act in life or we don't do things that we want to do because we're worried about what other people are going to think of us, right? It's so true. And we all do that. I know that when I first started in fitness, like once again, 2013, I was posting on Instagram about it. And this is before everyone posted selfies or posted anything. It was when Instagram was like, it was only cool if you posted like maybe a vacation, but like kind of don't even be in the photo. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
And now we're all just like narcissistic and it's all cool.
Totally.
So it was actually really interesting. I knew that people were talking about it behind my back, people I'd been good friends with. And it worried me and it upset me for sure. And there was one night when I was having a sleepover with a good friend and she goes, listen, I just have to tell you this. Like, so many girls are just mortified of you. Like, they think that what you're doing is so embarrassing.
Wow.
They think that it's like pathetic that you're posting about fitness on Instagram. They think that like the fact that you want to like start your own business is just like such a losery thing to do.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so obviously it sucked. I cried.
No kidding.
And then what I realized was I have to get over it. Because if I worry about what every single person is going to think of me, whether they be some random person I went to high school with or a relative or literally anyone, I won't act. And I think it's so, like, sometimes I'll do a little bit of business mentoring. And I was working with someone the other day and she's incredibly smart. And she has this great idea and she's worried about going in and doing it. And I said, I want you to close your eyes right now because you're worried about what people are, she was saying, she was alluding to being worried about what people were thinking. And I said, I want you to close your eyes right now and I want you to picture the people specifically that you're worried about judging you. And she did. And I go, are they close people in your life? She goes, no. And I was like, how do you know them? She's like, I don't know. They're just like well-known in my community. I went to school with them for a couple of years. And it's like,
oh my God.
So when you're 95 years old,
yeah,
right? Let's hope we all make it there. Are you going to look back in your life and be like concerned at 95 that some random girl you went to school with for a couple years or months or whatever was judging you and saying nasty things behind your back?
Right.
Or are you going to regret not doing the thing that you had a burning idea inside of you to do?
Exactly. Totally.
And I think that's you with this show, mm-hmm. right? It's me with Fit Girl Gang and with my podcast and with my gym. Like, it's anything that anyone wants to do, there we are always going to have those specific people that
yeah.
creep up and we worry, right?
Totally.
We really worry.
Yeah.
What does it matter?
Exactly.
You know, and I know it's easier said than done, but I think it's practicing like acting anyways, because if we live our lives based on what other people think, we're never really going to do anything.
Oh, completely. And when people have certain goals, it's like, yeah, I'm a little bit scared about what this singular person might think or whatever. And if it's a little bit irrelevant, like, who are you not to have this goal? And like, who are you not to have this big dream and idea of what you really, really want to do in life? For me, that's way more important than having like not doing it because of avoiding like certain scrutiny from other people, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so now we're just gonna take a little bit of a break. Up next is a song that I chose from a Winnipeg-born band, The Brothers Landreth, from their album Let It Lie. Here is Greenhouse.
You're a cold day in August, you're a stream too shallow. You're a heart-shaped box with no letter inside. You're a seed on planet, you're a field run fallow. Your heart's used up, you're feeling cast aside. I'm sorry that I left so soon. I left you standing at the gallows. You were all strung out. The hangman.
Hello, everyone. We are back with Turning Heads Radio. If you are just tuning in, I'm joined here today with Johanna Sire, creator of the Fit Girl Gang. Thank you so much for being here, Johanna.
Thank you.
So getting right back into it, I really wanted to talk about your unique goal setting approach. You've mentioned it on a few of your podcasts, and I really wanted to know, like, how did you come up with this approach and how did you find the certain areas that were deserving of setting goals?
For sure. Okay, so let me start by saying I have not always been a goal-oriented person, especially with school. I was the biggest procrastinator that you're ever going to find. And I think it's because I didn't truly care enough. And so when I decided to take this business on, especially when I decided to go all in with it and really make my vision happen, I knew that I needed to be specific. I needed to hold myself accountable and I needed to make things happen. Like, I needed to
totally.
Do it. And it wasn't going to happen on a whim. It wasn't going to happen at random. So I want to talk about three things that I bring up that I deeply believe that you need to do if you want a goal to become a reality. Okay. So we've all said we want to achieve things before, right? We've like thought them. We've thought like, oh, I'd love to do that. Like, I'd love to skydive. I'd love to write a book. I'd love to start a radio show.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Right. But what actually takes that thought or that kind of intention or whim and make it a goal that you set out and like step by step go after achieving, right? So number one is I believe that you need to say it out loud. You need to be able to say it out loud to yourself and to the people around you in your life. It's so important to verbalize it and to start talking about it. If it is only living in your mind, and if you haven't spoken it even alone in your car yet, what's the likeliness that you're going to start to work on it, okay? Plus, the best thing about talking it out loud, especially when you do to other people, is it starts to solidify the idea, make it more real to you, and also allow you to sort of work out kinks or talk things out or go like, maybe it would be like this, maybe it could be like that, right?
Totally.
So speaking it out loud is huge. The next one is you need to write it down, okay? When a goal is on paper, it's more real to you. It's something that's there that you're looking at, hopefully every single day, that you're going to then work to make happen so much in just a much more real way than if it's floating in your head once again and it's just an idea.
Completely.
Once it's written, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The final thing is you need to be able to visualize it. So I will talk about Fit Girl Gang a little bit. I had a feeling with Fit Girl Gang, and I know how wooey this sounds. I just knew that my idea could really impact people's lives.
Completely.
I knew the way I wanted it to affect women, the confidence I wanted it, that it could give them. And so I really think you need to be able to close your eyes and visualize what your goal will look like once it's a reality. Visualize it as though it's currently existing, right? So my gym is a physical space, so it's a little bit easier. So I'll use that as an example. I can close my eyes and picture what every element of the gym will look like. I know the material that I want to use on the front desk that people will see when they walk in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I want the feeling. I know I can see and feel the feeling that people will have when they walk in, and they are immediately part of a family and part of something very real, and they feel like they matter.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
So all of those things you need to be able to visualize. So just to like go over it,
yeah.
The big things that I push on people are say it out loud, even if you're afraid to say it to someone else yet, say it out loud in your car by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like me, maybe say it out loud when you're walking your dog outside. People think you're a psycho, but it's fine. My neighbors are like definitely think I'm insane. Number two, write it down. Write it down. It doesn't need to be every day, but write it down on a regular basis and revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to keep one major goal sheet that taped up to my wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be like my big yearly goals. I would say that out of the five big massive ones that I set for myself for 2019, I achieved three. So you know what?
Amazing.
It's not, firstly, the year's not over yet, I guess. But also, yeah, is it perfect? Absolutely not. But I mean, it's three
yeah,
big things that
absolutely.
I want in my life. So I feel pretty good about it. And then the next thing is visualize, and you can do that whenever, wherever.
Totally.
Right.
And I think that, yes, like big goals can be very scary to people. And it's like, okay, I want to write the LSAT. I want to get into law school.
Yep.
Like those are big goals. But when you break them down and you have like, you break them down into monthly goals or even into weekly goals, daily goals, it's not that scary, right?
Exactly. And breaking it down is a huge part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it can be as small as like getting 8 hours of sleep or drinking this amount of water,
yep,
or studying for maybe 4 hours in a day. So for that, it's broken down into smaller like micro pieces, which like helps you achieve that bigger goal in the end.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think that's a really great method.
So I guess I'll get right into the strategy
then.
So
yeah.
I personally work with my clients, and this is how I do it myself, to break up our goals into three categories, and they're pretty major categories. So the first is health and fitness. The second category is career/education, and the third is relationships. Okay, so health and fitness is going to be different for everyone. What I really encourage people to do when it comes to fitness, the first thing that I usually hear when I ask people, what are your fitness goals? They usually say, lose 10 pounds, get
right,
toned, get lean, fit into this pair of jeans. Those are body composition goals.
Right.
There's nothing bad with them. I totally encourage you to have them, but I don't think that they should be the end all be all of what your fitness goals are. To me, fitness goals are, I want to be able to go for a 15-minute run with my dog without stopping.
Right.
I want to be able to do 10 push-ups for my toes. I want to do a pull-up, right? Like something physical that you are working to be able to do, that's a fitness goal. Then you can also have your body composition goals in there. And when it comes to health, that's going to be different for everyone. It might have to do with diet. It might have to do with mindset. It might have to do with sleep habits. It could be all over the place. It's where you feel that you need to put in effort the most.
Right.
Okay. And where you care the most about getting. It's your goals. The next category is career goals, right? So once again, so unique to each person. I really try to encourage people to stop holding themselves back. Typically, we state a goal or we think it, and then we immediately go, who am I to want that?
Right.
Like, who am I to deserve to get that, right? Cut yourself off.
Yeah.
Who are you not to?
Completely.
Who are you not to go and do that,
yeah.
right? So write it down, have that goal. The final category is relationships. This isn't just romantic relationships. I think this is all the relationships that you value in your life. So it can be relationships with family, friends, your partner. It can be kind of a relationship that you want. So maybe you're single and you want a certain kind of partner and you want to set these goals to make sure that you don't settle for someone that doesn't recognize your worth.
Completely, you or know? Support you, yeah.
For me personally right now, this year was really about working on relationships with my family and friends and prioritizing them better. I would say I did a great job with my friends. I still have a long way to go with my family. That's going to be a big, big shift that I try to make in 2020 because there's relationships that I, like people that I love so much that I haven't been prioritizing, and it's something that I need to execute on and make happen.
Okay, for sure.
Yeah.
And so creating this goal setting approach, you have such a wide range of women that are in this gang. How do you make this approach fit for all different types of women that you have? Like, you have moms, you have really young women that yeah. are like in full-time school. How do you make it work for them, or how do you make it like more easy to approach?
I don't know if I necessarily make it work for anyone. I think it's just the point is that it's completely individual.
Right.
So what your goals, what my goals, what a 58-year-old woman's goals are, or male's goals, right?
Yeah.
They're all going to be different. I think these are categories that are fairly universal, that like most of us have these areas of our lives that we want to make changes or improve in. There are some, if you look at those three categories, there are some areas you're going to be crushing it,
yeah,
right? Hopefully.
For sure.
That you
yeah.
feel like I'm doing a great job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me right now, I would say I've been on top of my fitness. Hasn't really been a major struggle for me. And I just kind of want to keep going in the direction that I'm going, keep up the routines and habits that I have,
mm-hmm,
right?
For sure.
A big thing as well, and sorry, this approach like takes so long to explain, so I'm trying to summarize it.
No,
but
absolutely.
A big thing that I think is so, so important is, like you said, executing on a plan and being consistent. Consistent is my favorite word.
Okay.
It's literally my favorite word. These big things that we want to achieve in our life, whether you want to lose 100 pounds,
mm-hmm.
whether you want to get this career that seems so out of reach right now, or finish a degree that you haven't even started yet, it's not done by one sweeping gesture or decision. It's done by consistent action day after day.
Completely.
It's the small, small, small things that add up. And so it's about setting yourself up for success, not saying, I'm going to go do this, when you realistically know you're not going to be able to do that, right?
Exactly, yeah.
I get so heartbroken when women say, like, I'm such a failure, because they set themselves up to try to do things that, like, weren't realistic with their life anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if you just started so small?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And what if you just showed yourself you were able to do that thing?
Completely.
If you said, tomorrow I'm going to drink one glass more water than I drank today.
Yeah.
And then you show yourself you can do it.
Completely. Yeah. It's like little wins.
Yeah.
And so for the goals that you have kind of explained to your members with these three categories, where do you find the most that women have fall short of reaching their goals? Or what do you think is the thing that kind of stops them from completing this goal setting approach?
I think it's different within each category and different for each person.
Okay.
I definitely talk to them the most about the health and fitness goals, just given like that's my area of expertise.
Right.
So I'm not a career coach, right? I wouldn't feel I'm also not a therapist, so I wouldn't feel comfortable. I'm not qualified to necessarily go in super, super deep about all of those areas. So I definitely hear more about their wins and the areas, their wins and I guess not their losses, but like where they feel like they're falling short in terms of health and fitness. I just try to encourage them to set goals in other areas of their lives in the same way, because really anything we want, whether it be to save money, whether it be to have a healthy, balanced relationship with a partner that values us and, you know what I mean, it's mutually beneficial, whether it be to live a healthy and fit life where we have energy and feel good on a day-to-day basis, all of those things are honestly the same. And I think that's where people kind of don't put the pieces together and don't necessarily recognize it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
It's all putting in effort, doing the small things that build up, and it's just being consistent. I know it's annoying. It's my favorite word.
No. I think it's totally right. Like, if you make certain things every day more of a habit, not a habit that's gonna like drag you on, but that you're excited to do and just like kind of check off this little win every single day, it gets you closer to how like your future self that you find admirable and that you are like excited to be in the future.
Absolutely.
Right. So communicating with your members regarding their goals, like you have this accountability kind of section within the Fit Girl Gang where you hold the members accountable for so many goals that they have, whether it be like mental health goals, nutrition goals, fitness goals. Where do you find that members are not being honest? Like, do you find that any of your members like, do I really want this? Or are they just doing this because others have expectations of how they should achieve this goal?
Well, it's a tricky question because I don't know if someone's lying to me in a form. Yeah. There's literally no way to know, right?
Oh, completely, yeah.
What I will say is I hope that I've structured the goals in a way that people feel comfortable being vulnerable and honest with me, because at the end of the day, like, if you're lying to yourself, you're the only person that suffers, right?
Exactly.
If you're saying, and it's also, it comes down to excuses and priorities, right? We say, like, I don't have time for fitness in my life. I've worked with hundreds of women who are mothers and have careers and have so many things going on. If they can prioritize 20 minutes to work out, like, it's because they are making it a priority. It's not because it's easy to fit in.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the time and effort and everything that comes in with parenting.
Oh my
gosh, like,
yeah.
Couldn't even begin. But they're doing it and they're making it happen. So it's like, it's really about, like, do you think you are worth putting an effort toward your goals? And I think sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we think, like, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth the work or the effort. And it's just so untrue.
No, for sure. And for a while, I found myself, like, for me, setting goals that I was just like, yes, I want to become a lawyer. And I just thought that it's because somebody else expected me to do this.
Yeah.
Because that's what they deem as, like, successful, or that's just, like, the category that other people put me in.
You feel like there is a lot of prestige associated with that.
Completely.
And you want to have it.
Yeah, exactly. And not to say that, like, being a lawyer isn't great. Like, that's
of course
a fantastic job. There's so many amazing qualities, and lawyers do such amazing things for people. But it's the fact that, like you said, you're lying to yourself and setting these unrealistic goals that at the end of the day, like, you don't really want to push for. So you're setting these goals that are not wins because you're not completing it, and that because you don't, like, contribute it to it every single day and you're not consistent.
Yeah. And also, are you going after a goal because you want it and it'll fulfill you, or are you trying to make someone proud or impress them?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And something we've talked about before is my partner, when we first started dating, he said he was going to be a lawyer.
Right.
Was he passionate about law? No.
Yeah.
He wanted to make his parents proud and his grandparents proud of him. And there's nothing wrong in that. There's no shame in that, right?
Right.
I love the relationship he has with them. I think it's so admirable, honestly. Like,
absolutely.
It's great.
For sure.
But are you going to then spend your life going after something that doesn't fulfill you just to make people proud or to impress them? No.
Yeah, no, exactly. So just to kind of wrap this up, is there any way that people can get in touch with you to explore more areas of your business and, like, the Fit Girl Gang? Or
for sure.
Yeah.
Kind of a lot of ways, I guess.
Okay.
So I will begin. I don't know. So I recently released a podcast with my fiance, Quentin. He is a very special, wonderful person. And we try to bring our personalities and skills to the table. And we're just really trying to learn, right, about different areas of life. So the podcast is called Growing Up, and the idea is we're bringing on experts, entrepreneurs, people from all different industries, and learning from them, their stories, their mistakes, their wins, and sort of just their perspectives on life. So Growing Up, you can find it in Apple Podcasts, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Amazing.
The Fit Girl Gang, you can go to fitgirlgang.com for more information. We are releasing our winter series very soon, so registration will open up and then everybody can join. We don't begin though until January 6th, so
right.
We all start on the same day, and at that day registration closes for the next 4 months.
Amazing. So you have like a 3-week period of signing up.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And I love that too, because I don't want to worry about trying to, like, get people interested to sign up while we're in a series. Like, I'm so in
totally.
It with the women that, like, I'm not marketing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, so that is happening. And then you can find me, Johanna Sire, at johanna.sire on Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in for this episode of Turning Heads Radio right here on 101.5 UMFM. Up next is Good Together by Hone from the album Warm on a Cold Night.